music means it is time once again for Stroman on Sports here on 97.9 The Hill. Dr. Deborah Stroman is a UNC faculty member, a University of Virginia professor. She's a former coach, former player, sports businesswoman extraordinaire, and of course, host of If You Only Knew right here on 97.9 The Hill. She joins me each Friday to talk about the latest top stories in the sports and business world. Happy Friday, Deb. How are you?
I am doing well. I am out all the way across the country in Las Vegas. Just finished up a wonderful, wonderful Black Men's Brain Health Conference with some of the leading scientists and researchers and community organizers and faith leaders. And now getting that taste of the Super Bowl momentum with all the fans and teams and support staff coming to town.
I was going to say, Vegas is the place to be right now. So much of the sports and the sports business world has descended on the city in preparation for Sunday and the big game. Absolutely want to get into that. But I want to talk first about hoops because I think that is more at the forefront of Carolina fans' minds lately. Of course, UNC men's basketball just dropped a game to Clemson on Tuesday. That comes after a really big win over Duke Saturday. But they had dropped a game leading into that Duke game against Georgia Tech as well. I don't know with your travels, Deb, if you've had a chance to watch the Tar Heels, but I think people are starting to get a little concerned. UNC is still looking like a top 10 team. They are a top 10 team and they're on top of the ACC. But what's your impression of these Heels? Have they just had a bad few games outside of the Duke performance, or is this something that it could be giving them problems as the season goes on?
Well, there's no doubt there are teams that can run the table, as in from the opening bell to the end of the season, they are solid, they are playing well, they're just clicking. I think for the Tar Heel Nation, considering the history of Coach Hubert Davis and his staff and what's happened over the past year, 2 years, people were concerned that this great team playing so well, RJ Davis looking like, I mean, he's a solid, solid draft pick. People were concerned, will they run out of gas? Can this magic continue? Everything's clicking. The transfers, they look like the right players for Carolina. So that, I believe that thought has always been in the back of the mind of the Tar Heel fan base. And then we have the losses. So yes, people are questioning. Now, with the Duke game, you throw everything out the window. Everybody gets up for Duke, and certainly you want to protect your court, especially since Duke, you know, won last year in Chapel Hill. So could the Duke game just be that rival game you throw out and people say Georgia Tech and Clemson, they are telling us something about this team? The next few games are critical for Carolina to show that indeed things are still good, that this team can definitely be a Final Four team. But I do believe that people are questioning now.
Yeah, at a time when people are already kind of looking for reasons to poke holes in the ACC, it seems, on the national level. Back to you mentioned these Tar Heels under Hubert Davis. I feel like we're just going to see this anytime that those losses happen because of the fall from grace last year, preseason number one to missing the tournament. A lot of criticism levied at Hubert on Tuesday night when, I mean, you look at what the players are saying and what the players were doing. Clemson just absolutely punched them in the teeth in the first few minutes of the game. And then UNC's offense kind of sputtered with some bad shot decisions and some turnovers in the last few minutes of the game. And, you know, that's nothing that the coach can determine, right, Deb? I mean, from your experience playing and, of course, your experience watching so much, you know, when you see stuff like that, do you go, well, there are some coaching elements that contribute to this? Or is it a situation where it's just, you know, the players just aren't delivering in those moments?
Well, with your top teams, everybody knows that the players make the difference. The players are the ones on the court. And especially when you have experienced players, especially when you consider the transfers have played a lot of minutes at their previous schools. And then you've got RJ and Armando, who have certainly led the Tar Heels over the past few years. We have to look at the players. Now, what great coaches can do is set the stage in the toughest of competitions when you know it's a game where you can just get a sense that your team is not bringing their A game. What type of plays can you call? What types of manipulations, whether it's riding the referees, you see top coaches get those technicals you know, at the right time, because they're trying to change the momentum, trying to change the flow of the game. You've got coaches who will use their timeouts in a way that will draw attention to their team and say, wake up, I need you to play right now. And then, of course, Carolina, we've got a history where there are wholesale substitutions. They'll take an entire starting group out, or top six players, and they will just put in players that don't necessarily play enough minutes. So top coaches do know certain techniques, certain things that you can do to wake your team up. But yes, this is a player's game at this level for sure.
Yeah. Tough to say what's the chicken and the egg. I think all Tar Heel fans, though, hope that they come out of the gates against Miami tomorrow in a little better shape. That game tipping off at 4 o'clock. Our coverage will begin at 2:30 with countdown to tip off. Back to the game that I think it's fair to say people care a little bit more on the national scale. That would be the Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Kansas City Chiefs in Las Vegas Sunday night. It's a fun matchup. We've been talking about a whole lot. And it's, you know, when we talk about the intersection of sports and business, Deb, and how what happens on the field, what happens on the court, that's only a very, very small part of the business itself. I imagine you being in Las Vegas have gotten to see even more directly, especially on the heels of you going to the college football national championship game earlier this year, too. You've gotten to see directly just how much the business comes in and kind of dominates the sport, right?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing I can say is that Las Vegas has definitely put a stake in the ground saying that we want to be the sports capital, you know, bringing the Raiders in, baseball, everything is here. And it won't be long before they do get a NBA team as well. I've been very blessed to work with the UNLV Sports Innovation Institute, run by Chief Operating Officer Jay Vickers, and what they're doing at the college level to prepare their students for these great opportunities that will be here. So there's just a buzz in the air around the business of sports here in Vegas. On the other side, there are some interesting things. If anybody's been to Vegas over the past year, just walking outside, this contact that you get from the marijuana. And I want to make a note that adults over the age of 21 may purchase up to 2.5 ounces of cannabis. And I'll tell you, just walking the streets, just the smell. So you might want to keep your mask on if you don't indulge. It has nothing to do with COVID and flu and RSV and everything else. It's just the smell of the cannabis in this area. But there are some fun things going on. So I do want to chat about the gambling and the prop bets.
Absolutely.
I'm not a gambler. Yes. So there are some fun things going on. The color of the Gatorade bath for the winning coach, the coin toss. Will the Super Bowl MVP mention Taylor Swift, the length of the national anthem for Canadian bettors, and then which song will he perform during the halftime show? So it's a fun time.
Yeah, it's such an example of how even beyond what you see in the game, rushing yards and touchdowns and all of this stuff that you can bet on, there's such an appetite around this specific event and all of the trappings that go on around it that arguably the part of the sports business world that has grown the absolute most above the table in the last year or so is continuing to just jump all over that.
Yes. And how about a 30-second spot cost about $7 million this year? $7 million just to run a 30-second spot. So obviously you've got a lot of companies that have to make some key decisions whether or not they want to make that type of investment. And then if so, you have to hire the best producers, the best creatives, because this is your one shot. You mentioned the watching. Last year, the Super Bowl was watched by a record 115 million people, roughly one third of the United States population. And so they're predicting that this game will be the most watched ever when you think about the cities. Certainly San Francisco being a big media spot. And then, of course, Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you and I have ever talked about this before, Deb, but it's one of my favorite things to talk about around the Super Bowl. The NFL and some sort of streaming service is going to put this behind a paywall at some point, right? Like, we're just all leading up to the point where you're going to have to eventually pay to watch the Super Bowl at home because it's just so big.
There is no doubt. And when you think about the entrepreneurial thinking in this space, someone has got to say, we're making a lot of money, but guess what? We could double, we could triple that. And so I agree with you, it will come. At the very least, all these secondary or ancillary events related to the Super Bowl will get behind that paywall, where it's going to be pay to play.
Yeah, and what a day that will bring. You'll probably see a dip in that viewership, but oh man, the payday is going to be unbelievable for the NFL. And I don't even want to think about it along those lines. Let's talk about some on-field action too. We had talked prior to kind of the Final Four matchup in the NFL about how all of these teams have really good stories. Unsurprisingly, the Chiefs continue to be a great one with Patrick Mahomes leading the way there. His play as quarterback and the Chiefs' consistency has been incredible. This year, they have this amazing defense. The 49ers, it's their offense that's incredible. Their defense, of course, strong too, but their offense is incredible and being led by a quarterback who was Mr. Irrelevant in the NFL draft, the very last pick. I feel like just asking for a straight up prediction is a little overworn, Deb, but how do you think the game is going to play out? And do you think that the most interesting story between those two teams will eventually come out on top?
I do. I think there is no doubt that the 49ers have a bad taste in their mouth losing to the Chiefs, I think 4 years ago. But I do believe Andy Reid, who is arguably, you know, Hall of Fame, you know, here's a coach where people considered would be on the short list of one of the best coaches to never win a Super Bowl. And now he's on the verge of becoming the fifth head coach in NFL history with three rings. With his coaching and the determination of Patrick Mahomes, I don't think they can be stopped. They have two defensive backs, Trent McDuffie and Legarius Sneed, who I think can make a difference with Mr. Irrelevant. They are just top cornerbacks. I also say a wild card is Isaiah Pacheco, the running back for the Chiefs. He is just running through lines, just great speed, great power. The 49ers, Shanahan, the head coach, he's still looking for his first ring, although he's considered one of the best coaches in any sport. I think he has the highest career postseason winning record of any head coach in the NFL, the NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball without a championship. But just something tells me about the magic of the Chiefs, of how they could go on those go to those away stadiums and win. I'm thinking that the Chiefs can do this again. I do.
Speaking on the gambling side, it is kind of shocking that they are underdogs in this game right now. Yes. If you look at betting lines, for a team, as you said, that has been winning on the road in this playoff stretch, something that they had not done before, you got to imagine that's going to add this little extra chip on their shoulders. And it's going to make for a really, really exciting game come Sunday night. I'll let you go so you can get your weekend started, Deb. Thank you so much for joining us from Las Vegas, and look forward to chatting with you next week about the Super Bowl outcome.
Thank you. Go Heels.